Morning, VR, or afternoon, I should say.
How you doing, Greg?
Oops.
That's why I can't hear you. How you doing?
Good, good.
Doing
Sorry,
work?
I'm with a patient. Yeah.
No worries. You carry on. You carry on.
Okay.
Evening, gentlemen.
Evening, Greg.
Hey, John, how are you?
Good.
Thompson, what's going on?
Hello, sir.
Is it cold where you are?
It's gonna be roasting tomorrow.
It's fucking cold here, man.
Oh, long
I've
weekend's gonna
sat.
be
Yeah,
great.
I'm sat out in the garage though. Hey, Paul, how are you?
Perfectly fine.
Good man. So we get, seems to be always the same. Always be the same crew that came all came to Tampa last time.
And we were in the same workout group there too.
That's right. Yeah. There's a few more popping in. So while everyone gets in, has anyone got any wins that they want to declare for the week? Come on, gents. Before I start to explain how, go on, Mike.
There. I got
What's
one for
going
you. I'm just
on?
cooking, so I might turn my video off here as I'm cooking my dinner and that. But I started doing some running and I ran 10K and it was pretty good. I got a little bit of sore feet, some tendons, but I'm gonna start doing some running, so that was a good win.
My
Knocked my first
man.
out. Yeah.
My man. That's awesome. And you still planning on doing a Hyrox or something like that?
You know what? I don't know if I can actually get into one, but I'm gonna keep training so I'm able to do one. So if I can't get in, I tried to get some tickets for a couple, but if I can't get in, then I'm still gonna go. I'll do like a simulation one or something, but I'd like to just keep training for that still. So,
I'm mad. Like, I mean, the fucking like 14, 15,000 people showing up to these events now.
it's insane. Yeah, I tried to get some
It's
tickets, and I had like my phone out and my computer, and it wasn't happening. So,
wild.
but.
I remember we were in Marbella 2 years ago, and someone it was 2 or 3 years ago. When were we, Thompson? 2 years ago, wasn't it? When I met Thompson first time, and someone started explaining this Hyrox thing to me, and I was like, fucking sounds like shit. That's not gonna take
Yeah,
off.
right.
Shows how
But
right I was.
that's it. We never know, do we?
No, absolutely not. But yeah, but it killed it because such an intelligent marketing scheme, right? Because they just basically picked, they took CrossFit, kept it really, really difficult, but
Yeah.
just took away the skill asset of it. So like it's still really hard, but you just have to train really hard to actually
Yeah,
achieve it. So
exactly.
anyone can do it.
Right.
Chris, what's going on, man? Haven't seen you in a while. How's everything?
Yo, what's up, Greg? Doing well, man.
Any
It's been,
wins for the
yeah, it
last
has
couple of
been.
weeks?
What's that?
Any wins for the last couple of weeks?
Wins. We've had some wins. Had some couple big projects for work that that have won. So yeah, I mean it's been solid.
Nice. How's training going?
Good, good. Trying to had some travel like past 2 weeks, and so just trying to get back in the routine and yeah, get back at it. So no more travel for about a month or so.
Nice.
So yeah, really trying to buckle down here.
Nice. No, it's good to see you, man.
Yeah,
The boss
likewise.
is here. What's going on, man?
Greg, what are you doing trying to steal my identity over there, man? I see that.
Yeah. How's everything?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
Yeah, good. Good to see you.
I'm glad I could join.
Anything you want to say to the lads before I get started?
No, man, just great to see everybody. Thompson, look like you're getting jacked. Mike's always getting jacked. Paul, good to see your face again. John, I see you all the time. Chris, I don't know if I've officially met you before, man. Great to connect. I think I've seen your face on here before,
We ran across paths at MI. I'm here in Tampa, once.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Very cool, man. You still getting in there?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we'll be in there tomorrow morning, 5
Nice. What
a.m.
time of the day do you train?
Early, so 5.
Okay.
5:30 is kind of when I'm getting in. I think
That should
there's
be cool.
I forget the guy that opens it up there. Yeah.
Eric or Mike.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Well, when I get back, I'm sure I'll be seeing you there. I'm there every morning usually.
Nice. Looking forward to it.
Jared, good to see you too, man. You in Vancouver? Yeah. All right, man. I won't bug.
Just rolling through the airport.
So, actually, before you go, Greg, I'd love to talk a little bit about the state of the world, and it's exciting for me to be alive right now. I don't know if you guys feel the same, but I'm so deeply enthralled in what the future holds and what performance holds in the future, and what AI is going to do for us, and what medicine is going to do in the next 3 to 7 years. I think it's the most exciting time to be alive, and I'm obviously like sort of in the middle of it, and I don't assume that everyone's in the middle of it. But yeah, I hope that I can share some of my enthusiasm for what the world's going to look like and what human potential is going to look like now. Like we don't have to wait 5 years to completely change everything about the way we live, the way we think, the way we feel, the way we perform. And I was thinking about this morning. So in the past, there was three important questions, existential questions to ask, and now there's two. And what that means is the existential questions are, what do I want to do? Why do I want to do it? And then how the hell am I going to do it? Right? What do I want to do? Why do I want to do it? How am I going to do it? But how is completely removed. The how is 100% solved in everything you could possibly want to do. So there's still what and why. What do I want to do and why do I want to do it? Because why is important, because it's important for motivation. But I truly believe the how has been outsourced. So all the information you've ever wanted to gain, you guys are younger than me, most of you. John and I are in the same age category. But we have to learn shit. Like we have to go to libraries and read books and like if I wanted to learn something, it took me 6 to 8 hours to read a book and I have to get an encyclopedia. I have to go somewhere to do it. Now, like boom, done. So like the how is gone, right? In the next 2 to 3 years, there's no such thing as how. So I hope you guys all feel empowered by the fact that like you can fucking do anything, like literally anything. The only gap is like what do I want to do and why do I want to do it? Because the why is what's going to be necessary when shit starts to get hard, because it will. Like the level of what I think is happening is this sort of leveling of the playing field, right? And it's not there yet, but it will be very soon, to where like anything you've wanted to do ever, you can do, right? Outside of your only constraint is physical, maybe mental, but like I think your only constraint is physical, which I think it makes our business more valuable because everyone's going to recognize that the physical constraint is everything. But there's no more constraint on knowledge, no more constraint on systems, no more constraint on process, no more constraint on technology. Like it's done. The only constraint is what I want to do and why do I want to do it. And maybe like having a global vision. So you go from being, I have to solve me level problems, to then I have to solve we level problems, to then I have to solve or get the opportunity to solve global problems. So I hope every one of you guys is like stepping up in this opportunity or seeing the opportunity to, 1,000x your potential. It's fucking crazy, man. Like my brain just is still wrapping my head around what the world is going to look like. And unfortunately, the concentration of wealth is going to be even more noticeable, right? Because people who are willing to see this and take the opportunity are going to be building remarkable businesses that change lives. And the business cycle is going to be so much faster. Businesses may be lasting 1 to 3 years instead of 30 to 50 years. So it's a very interesting time to be alive. And I hope you guys all feel empowered by that. Recognize your job will be disrupted. There's no jobs right now that are going to be protected. And so my encouragement to you guys is like, take a couple hours a day and learn AI as quickly as you can because you can become a really valuable asset, exponentially more valuable than you are right now, if you're empowered by AI. And Thompson, I know I'm preaching to the choir because he's been doing this a lot longer than I have, but your value skyrockets. It's either going to skyrocket or going to zero, and you get to be the decision makers, So I encourage you guys to think about that. I'm happy to speak on that if you guys want to talk about it at all, but I feel unbelievably excited about it. And I'm working my dick off, like, pardon my French, but I'm working a lot on understanding AI and understanding what the world's going to look like and putting myself in the right position to make sure I'm in the right circles, I'm talking to the right people, I understand what the next business opportunity is, because the business cycles are so much faster. You know, everyone's like, oh, you gotta invest in compute and AI. And you're like, yeah, nope, not anymore. Missed it. Now you gotta go to energy, then you gotta go to uranium, you know, then you gotta go to quantum computing. You gotta be ahead of the wave, you know. So like it's crazy that, and you know, Thompson, I know you're sort of nodding your head. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's changing. So, you know, you can choose not to participate, which I think there's going to be people who don't have to participate. But yeah, I guess it's really, really up to you.
Does anybody want to ask any questions on that? Because that's fascinating, right? Like, I mean, I'm just touching on the point of remember doing my like my undergrad where I had to physically go to a library and I had to physically find the book and find the chapter and then photocopy it so that I could take it away to actually read it from
Scan
home.
through it, like, I don't want to read this.
Like,
It's done. Like,
it's what I used to spend like £20 sat there scanning shit, my last £20, and I couldn't go drinking afterwards. Like, that's
right.
how long ago that is and how times have changed. It's crazy.
Greg, you might, I don't know if you're old enough to remember like microfiche. When I went to the library, there's something called the microfiche. They're like you're scanning through old articles in these little fucking things that are like basically transparent photocopies that are like filing
Okay.
cabinets. Yeah.
There was a time where we did that. It's wild. Does anybody want to ask any questions on it?
I was just gonna ask, we're all different in our past and our journeys, but where do you start? What would be a good spot to start with AI and start learning about it?
Man, just open Claude, like buy the highest level subscription and do everything you possibly can on it. So like just start building something. So if you open Claude, it's got three options. It's got chat, cowork, and code. So like chat is the first thing. Chat is like Google. You can like ask it a question, it's gonna give you an answer. That's great. Code is where like I can ask it to do something and it's gonna go build an agent. It's gonna go build something. So as quickly as you can, try to understand Claude code, and then you start building agents, you can start building sites, you can start having it do stuff for you. So I think that's sort of where you want to get to. And now, if you just go on Anthropic, which is who owns Claude, there's like courses you can take. Man, my suggestion is like clear every weekend. So like literally from morning to night in the weekends, I'm parked my ass over there and I'm sitting there taking courses on AI, so I can understand how to build stuff. And like not only understand how to build it, but understand how to get the most of it. So like I watch podcasts constantly, I take courses constantly. I've got some amazing courses that I've taken on how to build a second brain. So like yeah, I mean, I could give you a million different resources, but so a good friend of mine's got a school community on helping people build AI. YouTube is amazing. Yeah, I mean, like I can give you a million resources, but I would just say, just start, man, and then ask Claude and be like, hey, I really want to understand what your potential is. Please give me resources to start and take me down a path of learning how to ultimately understand the full potential, the current potential of LLMs. Now they're changing. So there's three that you really want, maybe four that you want to pay attention to. Everyone knows ChatGPT. Most people now know, well, Grok is sort of gone. I would say Grok's sort of like on the back burner. Claude, Gemini, and Perplexity. Those are your four primary ones. I don't know, Thompson, you agree. Those are your four primary ones. I like Perplexity because Perplexity actually pulls in the LLM that is most useful right now in this specific topic. So you can actually put it on a setting. That let's say I want to ask it a question of like, hey, what's the research say right now around maximizing muscle building for my quads? I could have it run that for it runs all the LLMs. It could run Claude, ChatGPT, and Gemini, and give me the consensus answer. So it can be like, hey, between all three of these, because they all give you different answers. So hey, here's what the consensus is, which is amazing. So like, if I was to choose one, I'd probably choose Perplexity. If I wanted to build like code, it's still Claude.
Okay, cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, get into it, man. And like get a little OCD, drink a little coffee.
Have a little bit more extra time right now too. Recently, I just left my job too, so I got a little bit more time to explore this type of stuff. So
Hopefully that's a good positive move.
it is a good thing. I was in a position and just a job I kind of fell into. I wasn't really loving it, and I was kind of praying for it actually, and something came along. So it's a good timing. So
Yeah, what are you gonna do next?
I'm I like woodworking. I started doing some woodworking. I moved back home with my dad about a year and a bit ago, and he's shown me some tools, and I've taken an interest into that. So, yeah, building some cabinets and stuff on my free time and
Dude,
doing some
that's all
projects.
that
Yeah.
you'll always have a market, right?
Yeah. So it's just, yeah, seeing where I fit in into it, right? So.
Yeah, that's the kind of so actually, if anyone's feeling entrepreneurial, I think the single biggest gap that they're anticipating in the next 5 to 7 years is electricians. So apparently there's already a 500,000 electrician deficiency in, I think, just in North America. So like you want to make money, open a school for electricians. Like, so where I was going with that is like electricians, plumbers, and carpenters are probably the three most important trades to be in years to come.
Just the power all of these the network housing centers and all this stuff too, right?
Well, like electricity is going to be everything in the next 10 years, right? Until we get to Mars or on the moon for electricity. It's going to be a long time. So we probably have 5 to 7 years before of like electricity shortages before, Elon builds a terafab on Earth and then one on Moon.
Crazy interesting. Yeah.
Sci-fi shit. It's sci-fi shit, right?
It is. Well, this is literally, so the craziest, this is the craziest thing that he was inspired by books, right? He was inspired by sci-fi books. And he's literally being like, oh, yeah. We're going to do all this stuff in outer space now. So all the most wealthy people are basically saying, oh, Elon says this is a good idea to go build these things on Mars. So all of the wealthiest people are also now making multi-billion dollar investments to build these data centers on Mars. Jeff Bezos, Sam Altman, these guys are all building the same, but like Elon started the idea. So Elon's the guy who's like sort of the catalyst for making us potentially a multiplanetary species or at least leveraging outer space. Pretty crazy, man. The amount of uranium that's being mined right now is nuts. So uranium is the foundational ingredient for building like hydrogen. What's the word I'm looking for? Electricity from hydrogen. Some I'm losing my
Power,
mind. What is it?
nuclear power,
Nuclear power.
fusion.
Yep. Exactly. So that'll be, if you guys are investors in the stock market, the nuclear fusion stuff is going to be crazy over the next couple of years. And then eventually it's going to go to quantum. So if you want to invest in quantum, now's the time. Or uranium, the time was 6 months ago. But there's a few decent stocks there as well. But yeah, like as an example, some of these AI stocks are 37,000%, right? So you put $1,000, you're loaded, you're wealthy. But you just got to be able to see those things before they come. I think the next two are going to be uranium mines and electricity and quantum. Thompson, you in agreement on all that? What am I missing? Stress.
I can't say too much about the investment stuff, but generally speaking, the question before about how do you get started, just get started. Don't think too much about it. You get started and it changes in 2 months anyway. So, the key is just to get started so you're not afraid of it and press all the buttons, right? There's no doing it right because by tomorrow you'll be wrong anyway. So just do it.
Yeah. You're in the investment space. Are you guys building like obviously you're building AI in the financial space? Is that for like understanding what drives the markets, or is it for understanding how to invest? Kind of both the same, I guess, but what are you guys doing?
Everything, pretty much everything. If you just look at, I mean, this is not proprietary information, but you look it up online. We're using it for threat detection, security, investments, opportunities, even like old systems that, someone built years ago and we need to upgrade them. You just plug AI into it and they'll upgrade it for you, right? There's no need to maintain old stuff yourself anymore. So it's pretty much everything.
So if I wanted to build an agent for myself to like analyze stocks, analyze the market, and become an agent for me, what would be my first resource? Not that this is at all the topic of our conversation today, but do you have any places like, oh, go check out what these people are doing? Like I'm in the process of trying to build these agents myself and like pulling in all the best TA and all the best FA and acting like these specific investment companies and these specific investors. And we could talk about it another time.
It's interesting. I can't make any recommendations myself, but like it's interesting. Some kind of platforms allow you to do that. Some platforms actually steer well clear of it because then they get themselves into trouble, right? In terms of like providing financial advice, etc. But at the very least, if you at exactly as you say, if you use it as a data discovery and kind of like filtering thing, then make yourself informed and make your own decisions off the back of that. It's basically getting you quicker, faster, more comprehensive access to a lot more information than you could ever humanly consume previously. So leverage that, I guess.
Asking the right questions, getting the right info. Sorry, Greg, I didn't mean to steal your thunder, man. You take the show.
No, man, no problem. So looking at this evening where we're going to talk about toxins. Really difficult conversation, right? Because generally speaking, they're omnipresent now. So my goal today was not to try and fear monger, to be afraid of pollution, to be afraid of EMFs, to be afraid of the food that you eat or the water that you consume. My goal is to give you clear takeaways that you can actually integrate within your life relatively easily, but in stages, right? So like what we're going to look at is we're going to see like what are the real clear changes that you guys can make relatively quickly in regards to the amount of toxins that you consume. And then we can actually talk about where some of these toxins actually tend to come from as well. Now, slightly different compared to US or the boys that are in the UK. So Thompson, a little bit easier for us, predominantly, but not totally. So I'll take you through some of the information, how some of these toxins can actually damage the system, and then we'll try to get into takeaways as much as possible. But before I get going on that, what have you guys heard in regards to toxic exposure? Like, where do you guys think you get it from? What do you try to avoid? And do you involve any interventions right now?
I mean, the big one that I've heard is plastics, right? So heating, especially plastics around food and heating, your Starbucks coffee cup, right, with hot coffee, or just like heating food in a plastic container. That's been the biggest one that I've heard of what we're talking about.
Yeah, BPA's microplastics becoming a pretty big deal that we see now. Interestingly, particularly in regards to microplastics, receipts. That is fairly legit, Jared. With microplastics, it's important to note it doesn't actually seem to be the plastic that does all the damage. It tends to be what comes off it. So in regards to whatever coloring and stuff is used within it, but yeah, that's definitely one. Mike, were you going to say something?
I was going to say the Starbucks cups as well. And then storage containers for your water. I've got some big wine glasses. I bought some big glass ones from a wine guy, and I try to keep my water in there now. So
Oh, the boy, the
just
vast
little
majority of
things,
them,
right?
but
Heating
it is
stuff up in plastic, right? Like trying to stay away from that.
the vast majority of our plastic exposure is from plastic water bottles. So that's definitely worth noting. We do get some actually now, unfortunately, we do get some from actually the water we consume in certain circumstances. But let me start to pull up some of the stuff that you might want to worry about, and then some of the stuff that we can actually do to make intervention for most of you. So this is my one moment to try and scare you. If you actually go into toxicology research, it is terrifying because we get to see actually the vast swathes of forever toxins that we're exposed to, and a lot of these PFASs that you'll see are forever chemicals. The reason why they're coined that way is because they're actually produced and made to not be able to be broken down effectively. So for us, when we get exposure to these forever chemicals, our body can't detoxify them effectively, so it will deposit them in different places. So we will either put them in it'll put them in relatively fatty tissue. So in that circumstance, in our fat, you'll see it within the pancreas, you'll generally see it within the liver, can be stored in the kidneys as well. So you'll normally find that our body will sequester them and try and hide them somewhere else. But this is where it's known, like toxins are everywhere now. And this isn't my intention just to try and scare you guys about that, but it's to be aware that there is real action points that we can take in order to mitigate how much toxic exposure we get. But also, it's just worth noting that it is a real world threat. So we see increases. I don't tend to put the statistics in here because I don't talk about it. We see relative increases in cancer, but particularly we see true incidences in cardiovascular disease, and we see huge differences in type 2 diabetes. We also see quite a lot of liver damage and quite a lot of neurodegeneration when we get exposed to all these different pollutants. So like just when we talk about here, like PFASs are generally thought of as like the forever chemicals that we get exposed to, whether that be from water, whether that be from detergents, whether that be from flame retardants or wherever we get them from. But they do have a dramatic effect on our health overall. Now, we can obviously get into ways and means of detoxification, which we will later, and some of the stuff is actually relatively simple, but it's just important to note heavy metals, glyphosate that we get from traditional farming all have a significant effect on our health. So sometimes when I see people online, and you'll see these people where they'll say, oh, this chemical has been tested for safety and it's gone through rigorous testing. However, no single study will test multiple ones at the same time. So that's generally where you see the problem. We've got thousands of recognized ones. But this is probably what's most important for you guys is where do we actually get these things from? Apologies, some of this seems to be a little bit missing. So in terms of environmental toxins, we're thinking of PCBs, dioxins, pesticides, toxic metals, but stuff like heterocyclic amines. So who here lives in a particularly polluted city? So when we look at the major ones around the US, we've got New York, Chicago, LA tend to be the most polluted. But I remember one of Andrew's clients was living in Shanghai, for example. That's a lot of exposure to what are called heterocyclic amines, which are and dramatically increase cancer risk. So those things are worth noting. If you live in one of those polluted areas, it is worth having air purifiers in the rooms that you spend the most time in. But we do get dietary sources of a lot of these things. So whether that's ultra processed food, certain PUFA oils if they spoil, and high temperature cooked foods, which I touched on with the HCAs. And then some of the stuff that people tend to forget, whether it's the deodorant that you use, the aftershave you use, some of the cleaning chemicals that you use, these can be significant. Not so much for us as males, unless you're a male who wears makeup, but some of the skin exposure that female tend to put themselves through can be quite damaging. And then when we think about water, so who here doesn't actually have a water purification system or a filtration system at home for the drinking water? Have you all got one?
So I get like spring water delivered, but I don't have a purification, yeah, thing.
Spring water delivery will do the job as well. So I think as an intervention, that needs to be the vast majority of your number ones if you haven't done it yet. But what I didn't put, I should have put the picture in here. Brita does. I'm not sure how, I wouldn't know the statistics off my top of my head, how effective it is at removing everything, but it is definitely a phase of it. But circadian disruption and what they call, like, not necessarily dirty electricity, but what they notice is the areas with the highest level of nighttime light exposure, so the big cities tend to have the highest levels of cardiovascular disease and tend to have the highest levels of type 2 diabetes. That's when they account for diet. So there is something to be said for the importance of you maintaining your circadian rhythm and actually using, this isn't a very good example because it's 11 o'clock at night for me, but obviously I'm doing a presentation, but to take that stuff into consideration when you are thinking about how your lighting is at the evening, how you're removing yourself away from phones, because circadian disruption or our exposure to either EMF or our exposure to so-called dirty electricity can have a lasting effect on us overall. So that needs to be taken into consideration. Now, in terms of some of these heavy metals, so whether we think like arsenic, we can get exposure from in certain types of food if we eat an awful lot of rice. Cadmium, we tend to get from cigarette smoking. Mercury, we don't tend to get exposed to so much anymore. Ooh, interesting. Yeah. So Yvonne Burkhart. So yeah, we're checking that in terms of filtration.
So yeah, just to add a bit to that, I was looking at water filters recently because I have a very basic Brita filter, but it was like there were all these different levels, right? Reverse osmosis and things that actually remove PFAS and stuff like that. So it's definitely worthwhile. Kind of, it's a bit of a rabbit hole to be honest, but it's worthwhile going
Yeah.
into.
And what did they say about the Brita filters in it? Or
It's
what did she say about
the
them?
basic bare minimum you can do, really. There are better ones out there.
Okay, that's really good to know. Thanks for that, Thompson. And what's worth noting as well, though, like a lot of these water filtration systems have got so much cheaper. So, like, I mean, they used to be a few thousand pounds. I can remember a decade ago, you can get relatively effective ones between 300 and 500 pounds now. So it does work out a lot cheaper. But when we look at toxins and metabolic disease, we see that all of them are associated with it. So benzene, whether that's from cars or wherever else we get exposed to it. So airborne toxin robustly associated with insulin resistance across all ages. PFASs, which are the forever chemicals. I didn't actually put the study in there. They did a study in 10 to 12 year old Latina girls, and they noticed that there was a dramatic increase, and it almost perfectly correlated. So the amount of forever chemicals they were exposed to almost determined where they would be in terms of insulin resistance. So obviously we assume, and it's a right assumption that calories in, calories out dictates fat loss, and it does, but it's just showing that some of these environmental factors and compounding factors can accelerate some of the problems that tend to be associated with it. And then some of the persistent organic pollutants, like like dioxins are everywhere, and they're very difficult to avoid, but some of the interesting research that is going to start emerging is some of, and dioxins tends to be the major cause of this. When we see dramatic fat loss, so like we see with Ozempic or retatrutide or tirzepatide, the vast majority of these toxins get disposed of in our fat cells. So what happens when we lose a dramatic amount of fat all at once? Is we liberate a lot of these stored toxins. And that can be a real problem for somebody all at once to try and help and detoxify these things. I think what you're going to see, and I think it's associated with some of the really strong side effects and really weird symptoms that we see in a lot of people, where we see, like, in a lot of people, in certain people who use these drugs, where we see, like, kidney failure in certain populations, and it could be because of the liberation of these dioxins and PCBs. And then heavy metals, right? So, direct association to insulin resistance, type 2 diabetes progression, and cardiovascular disease. We just see it everywhere. And then how toxins just disrupt metabolism overall. So whether it's arsenic, lead, cadmium, mercury, they all have just different effects overall. Predominantly cardiovascularly though. And here you go. So this is some of the research which is weird artificial light and metabolic disruption. So blue light increases postprandial glucose by 30 to 50% and obviously suppresses melatonin production. So postprandial just means after you eat. And that's one of the first signs of blood sugar dysregulation is when we see postprandial glucose increase excessively or extensively. And then when we see like street lights, 14% increase in type 2 diabetes in middle-aged adults, indoor screens, insulin resistance goes up after 1 to 7 days of exposure. And then we have like obviously melatonin suppression, twofold increase in diabetes risk. So like this is really significant just in terms of our, and I'm not trying to make light out to be a like a toxin per se, but we can just see how it does play a role here. Ultra processed food for most of you guys, you already know. Now, this is where we get into some of the stuff that we can actually do to make a difference. So, how do we detoxify all of these horrible things that we get exposed to? So, when we think about water soluble toxins like glyphosate, it'll generally be done through urine. The vast majority gets detoxified through bile in our gallbladder and then we poop it out. But some of them we can get rid of a lot of through sweat. And this is where stuff like sauna can play a really, really big role. So whether that's dioxins, flame retardants, whatever that may be, we do get rid of a lot of heavy metals as well through our sweat. So it could be some of the reason why we see such strong benefits when we talk about those orange glasses. No, for sure. So we obviously know that sauna has all these health benefits around like circulation and nitric oxide production, but this also could be some of the reasons why stuff like sweating is plays such a big role. And actually, when you see breath, it's not a study I put in here, but those who had, and Ben could probably speak to this a little bit better than I could, those who had better diaphragmatic control and those who actually practiced breathing tended to have lower levels of some of these things, particularly based around benzene. So it's not just breathing in of itself, but actually the manner in which you do so seems to be more effective. And then we'll talk about like the lymphatic system. Not something, the lymphatic system, we also have what's called the glymphatic system, is what clears and drains a lot of the systems of our body. So like you can use things like lymphatic massage to actually help with this as well. This is something I'll put up in the group at a later stage. I'll give you guys some ideas of what you can do on a regular basis in terms of lymphatic drainage. And it's really simple stuff because we have all our lymphatic points. So we have just underneath the collarbone, we have in the neck, we have in the groin, we have behind the knee, and we have just either side of our belly button. These are all points of our lymphatic system, and we can actually help to stimulate those. So I'll show you guys a system at some stage about how to do that because I didn't put it in here. But it's just showing here that obviously hydration plays a really big role. Our gym has a steam sauna. I've been keeping away from the fact that it's city water fed. Is that something that is actually we should consider? I'm not sure to be honest, but we'll talk about it at the end. So this just shows the levels that you need to go through in order to make sure that you're naturally detoxifying. So we have to make sure that we obviously have enough water. We have to make sure we have enough bile flow and we have enough fiber. We have to make sure we sweat enough. We have to make sure we breathe correctly. And we have to make sure there's an element of lymphatic flow. So, like, as long as my son isn't awake when I wake up, if I get up first, I will generally look at lymphatic flow. And breath work first thing in the morning, if that's possible for me. And these are really, really key ways in it to help us detoxify a lot of these
What's
toxins.
lymphatic flow for you, Greg?
So I go behind the ears. So I'll go slow to begin with, then I'll do something a little bit more aggressive with it. Then I'll do the same here, and then I'll go a little bit more aggressive and same through all the points. Is how I generally work through lymphatic system. Now you can, and I'm not an expert in this, you can run over stuff like that with a toothbrush, but you got to be relatively careful while trying to increase lymphatic flow. So if you have quite stagnated lymphatic system and you actually stimulate it, it can make you feel quite sick. So like it's worth starting with any of some of this stuff just with really gentle rubbing of those particular lymphatic points. But like I said, I'll put something up in the group for sure.
What do you think about vibration plates?
It's supposed to be effective. I've just never used them for it. And then we can see some of the stuff here. So like what actually, so what Sauna can and can't do, right? I mean, it's not magic. But there is a lot of stuff it can be effective at getting rid of. So, and it doesn't necessarily have to be sauna per se. You can also look at just sweating in general. So whether that's just vigorous exercise in order to help get rid of some of this stuff. And some of the stuff too, like when we think about avoidance, so like what's food and water strategies for this? Going particularly like organic as much as possible, but particularly for high pesticide crops. So does I've have mentioned this to you guys before, especially when it comes to fruit and vegetables. There's the dirty dozen and the clean 15. So the dirty dozen in particular, in terms of fruit and vegetables, are extremely pesticide laden. So if you're going to use just some, like, so if there's a budget involved in going pesticide free or organic, the dirty dozen are particularly ones that you want to either avoid or go completely organic with. We obviously see this with PUFA oils as well. The difficulty with PUFA oils is may not all necessarily are bad, but particularly when they are cooked at extremely high heat, they can cause extreme issues. And we want to go grass-fed, pasture-raised animal products as much as possible. And then in terms of water, there's levels to this. Right. So like for most people, it's avoid start by avoiding bottled water. Then you can get into things like reverse osmosis for heavy metals and chlorine. And then like, you know, filter shower water and then whole house water filtration. But whole house water filtration is very expensive. I would generally for most of you be thinking about like a reverse osmosis water purifier initially to begin with and avoiding bottled water. And then with personal care becomes a little bit more, not difficult. Ben might actually know a few sites on this. Like I'm sure we can find one for you, sites that actually offer products. So whether that's deodorant, whether that's face cream, without a lot of the stuff that we're speaking about here. So with home environment, chemical cleaners, natural flame retardant free textiles. And this doesn't mean start pulling up all your carpets and throw out your couches, but when you're thinking about replacing things in particular is looking at some of this stuff. So if you guys have wooden floors, it's or like wooden untreated floors, that's generally the best place to start. And then glass and stainless steel storage is big. Air fresheners and scents, ventilate regularly and minimize off-gassing furniture. And then when we think about personal care, just read the labels, I think is a really big one. So particularly when you look at phthalates and BPA, and then glass containers again, and then avoid when I say avoid unnecessary supplements, what I kind of meant there was avoid unregulated supplements more so than anything else. My man, thank you for that. So EWG.org. And then we can think about circadian rhythm and light optimization. Like we, if anyone comes to me with a problem with toxins, fatigue, migraines, it doesn't matter what it is. If we can't optimize sleep, most likely we're not going to get out of that problem. The vast majority of detoxification occurs at nighttime, and it's particularly within the glymphatic system, which is the system that drains toxins out of the brain. So if we're not getting adequate sleep at appropriate times, it's going to play a really big role because detoxification, digestion, gallbladder contraction, All of it runs off something called the BAML 1 or our clock genes. So if we're not, and they're all based on circadian rhythm. So we have the suprachiasmatic nucleus in our brain, that's our central clock. And then we have peripheral clocks for all the other organs, and they work off consistency. So it's same bedtime, same wake time. And irregular, like we just see, like in terms of sleep consistency, 7 to 9 hours with consistent times, irregularity leads to a 29 to 38% increase in type 2 diabetes, and that's not accounting for genetics. So eliminating blue light at light, screen off 2 to 3 hours before bed, wear blue light blocking glasses after sunset, whatever that looks like, is just really important for our overall longevity, but also in our ability to be able to detoxify a lot of these toxins that I'm discussing here. So then we think about the highest impact stuff in regards to this. Sleep and circadian rhythm, morning exercise, stress management, sunlight exposure. Okay. So a lot of these things will play in to what we're talking about without actually being direct detoxification support. Because like if we're gonna get into like, heavy metal detoxification, it's a schedule or it's a presentation in of itself. We're just trying to give you the basic stuff that you can do initially. One thing, and actually it was interesting because did I see, is he still on the call? He is. Vihar is still here. So Vihar, I think, is actually with a client. But one of the major exposures that we get in terms of heavy metals, I just don't know if anyone would have them anymore. Does anybody still have mercury amalgams? So like black fillings? No, I had my I still have one. I got one removed recently. That must have just been an Irish thing then. You got yours removed years ago. So I was like VR, I'm assuming they don't use them anymore, but it was obviously worth asking the question. But that's one of our major exposures to heavy metals if we are stuck with any mercury amalgams. So if you've got those black fillings at any stage. Thompson, do you not have any as a Brit?
No,
No.
I mean I haven't had fillings, luckily. So
Ah,
yeah,
so you looked after your looked after your teeth.
Australia as well. Like I think my parents might have had some fillings before.
But one thing I forgot to mention for in terms of heavy metal exposure.
And we still do them.
You still do them?
Yeah, they still have them in certain areas because they're cheaper. The actual mercury exposure happens when you're removing them. If it's not properly cooled when removing them.
Oh, thanks, Vihar. That's good to know. So think about action plan, right? So like I said, water, install some sort of water filtration, sleep and light. Organic as much as possible, dental checkups, right? And this is not even necessarily for just mercury amalgams. When we think about dental health, it plays a dramatic role in our cardiovascular health, but also our brain health. There's a strong correlation between tooth decay and brain degeneration, most likely because those bacteria can actually leach down into your bloodstream. And then movement 20 to 30 days outdoors. And like I said, I'll put in some sort of lymphatic protocol for you guys within the next week or so as well. Super easy thing to do as well. And then you're getting into some of the more deepened stuff, like whether you're changing home environments, whether you're exercising more vigorously, which a lot of you guys do anyway, but then infrared sauna 3 to 4 times weekly. And then upgrading home and stuff like that and home environment, but that can get quite expensive. And then I never went, I didn't go into this too much, but if anybody is knows they've been exposed, so for example, we get exposed to a lot of UVA light when we fly. That is one situation where you can actually plan for. So the use of glutathione, the use of NAC, the use of pygnogenol can be really useful in that circumstances, knowing. Now, if someone has an awful lot of heavy metals, it may need something a lot more aggressive and more long term. But infrared saunas and then regular movement drives lymphatic drainage as well. So When we think about key takeaways, environmental toxins, they drive cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, metabolic dysfunction, they drive cancer, they drive neurodegeneration. They're fucking everywhere. But we have a lot of control, particularly of the stuff that we put directly in our mouth, the stuff that we put on our skin, and the water that we drink. So we can avoid a lot of this. And through, appropriate fiber intake, appropriate digestion, appropriate liver function, we can get rid of the vast majority of these. But it does take conscious action from a lot of us. I hope that makes sense, guys. I realize I've been talking for a while. Have you guys got any questions on any of that? Or, broader question, any questions, digestion, any questions for Ben, any questions, diet, training, whatever it is? Nothing, fellas? Favorite sauna protocol? Good question. Who just put it up online, which was actually a really good study? Most people got the highest benefit from 2 to 3 a week and for at least 20 minutes ago, I believe. Now, it's obviously just hitting it as much as you can in that circumstance, but 20 minutes seems to be a good number.
I have a old document from Rhonda Patrick. See if I can drop it in the chat.
At what temperature, Greg, for that protocol that you mentioned?
Over 180.
While Ben's chucking that in, anything else, guys, for the moment? Priority of cleaning up. Water, fragrance, free products, synthetic clothing, etc. Priority water first, 100%. Because you think about the amount of water that you're consuming within a day. You think about runoff from farmland, the inability for water sanitation companies to be able to actually process that much. I would definitely start with water. Especially because we, the UK, or was it Ireland, do we still use fluoride here? I
Yes.
think we do. Yeah. So yeah, definitely water filtration first.
I'm not able to drop this chat or this report in the chat.
Like I mentioned earlier, Greg, I get water delivered, right? But it does come in the plastic 5 gallon water container. Would it be better to get a reverse osmosis
Yeah, glass ones.
along with?
They have them in Tampa. There's companies that deliver glass ones in Tampa.
Okay.
So you pay a little
Got
more for the deposit, but you get it back.
gotcha. So the 5 gallon container is glass. Got okay. I'll look into
Yep.
it.
Yeah, I think they charge you like an extra $15 per bottle for deposit, but you get it back as long as you return it.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Nice. Anybody else, fellas? We'll be good to go. All right, gentlemen. Anything that you need, I will get a lymphatic drainage protocol in for you guys. But if anything you need in the meantime, don't hesitate to let me know.
Greg, can you
Thanks.
fire me a message before you go to bed?
Yeah.
Thank you.
No worries. Thanks,
Hey guys,
guys.
have a good evening. Thanks, Greg.